Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you. Today, I am grateful to introduce Tom Bueller to the podcast. Tom is a certified spiritual guide and offers mindfulness practices to prisoners in the Greater Racine area. And we thought it would be inspirational to our leaders to highlight Tom's work and learn more about this offering to a segment of the population that we might not associate with mindfulness. So Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I wonder if you can start off with sharing how you decided to share mindfulness with the prisons.
Yeah, so I had a friend who was involved with the prison here in Racine, and this is a state prison for men aged 18 to 24 years old. And he was teaching chess, and then he started teaching mindfulness as a part of a group. And that got shut down because of COVID. Then when COVID came to an end a couple years ago, the volunteer coordinator there reached out and offered to or encouraged us to start it again. No one else was available at that point, so I decided to do it myself. And I think I was inspired by the fact that I knew that it could be very helpful to people in that situation, which is obviously a high-stress situation.
Tom, I'm guessing that there is somewhat of a learning curve involved in any job that we go into, any environment that we go into, but I'm guessing there are ways in which you feel like you've grown, you've learned things. We'd love to hear more about how that's looked in your life.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been doing it for 2 years now. And when I look back, the first couple of cohorts, it was a rowdy situation. And I think the guys sensed that I didn't have a very good grip on presenting the material. And there was not a great receptivity. Whereas these days, it just seems like much more quickly, they're picking up on and enjoying the meditation aspect and learning about the whole mindfulness piece. So yeah, so I've definitely seen that kind of growth that you're talking about, Christina, and a lot of it is my self-confidence in presenting the material.
Yeah, wonderful. And Tom, when you say mindfulness, what does that look like for you? How would a session unfold for you?
Well, basically, I am following the principles of mindfulness-based stress reduction, which was created by a guy named Jon Kabat-Zinn. And I'm borrowing heavily from a workbook called The Guide to Teenage Stress Reduction. And so as Jon Kabat-Zinn teaches and is presented in this workbook, mindfulness takes two basic forms, and formal and informal. And formal is what we normally think of as meditation. So it's a specific period of time that we set aside to practice a form of meditation. And then the informal is incorporating mindfulness in our day-to-day life. And basically what that means is being aware in a very specific way of every thought, emotion, and physical sensation that we experience during the day. And of course, that's a very challenging thing. That's a very high bar. But the practice is to do that as much as possible.
I really appreciate you acknowledging. I know that this has been a personal practice of yours, practicing mindfulness. And whenever we go into a new situation, to your point, Christina, there's this learning curve that we have and sticking with it, learning from that cohort, what am I going to change and adapt for the next time? And it sounds like there's a lot more connection. I know you had shared with me that there's like some feedback forms and ways in which they can offer some feedback for the next round. And I'm curious if there's stories or quotes or things that you'd want to lift up, sharing a little bit about their experiences.
Yeah, there's a story that I love that, and this actually happened in the first or second cohort. Some stuff was getting through. So it was the last class of that, and this is an eight-session class. It was the last class of that cohort, and I always ask the guys when we start the class, I say, so how has mindfulness shown up for you this week? And this guy, who I could have sworn was sleeping through the whole class, raises his hand. He goes, yeah, I was waiting for my phone time the other day, and all of a sudden, I noticed that the guy in front of me is starting to use up some of my phone time. And somebody else in the class goes, phone time is serious business around here. And the other guy continues, yeah. And then I noticed that I was starting to get heated, starting to get pissed off. And then when I noticed that, I realized that this other guy was also having a hard time. And I could see that he was probably talking to his lawyer, his family, and there's something really stressful going on for him. And then I said to myself, was it really that big of a deal if I lose a few minutes of my phone time? And I thought that was such a great crystallization of what mindfulness is all about, because he became aware of his emotions. And when that happened, there was like this shift, boom, and created a distance between him and that emotion so that he could then empathize with what the other guy was going through. And when he did that, it put it in a whole different perspective. Well, this isn't the end of the world. And without mindfulness, he might have been like throttling the guy, or it could have led to an altercation, because as they say, phone time is serious business around there. So I thought that was a really good story. And then, as you said, Christina, they fill out evaluation forms. And often what I hear, and now this is not everyone, like you always start out with 9 guys, and then halfway through it's down to 5 guys. And then, but at the end, there's usually 3 or 4 that report that this is really helping them. And typically what they'll say is they have more control of their emotions, and they've learned this business of respond rather than react. So react is like the immediate reaction to an emotion, whereas respond is something that builds in the pause and the distance. So they'll say, yeah, I've learned to respond rather than react. And I'm sure that I've gotten in fewer fights, and I'm sure that I've gotten in fewer disciplinary actions because of that. Or they'll report that they feel more focused. Or they'll just report that the relationships are going better. So it's really great to get that feedback.
I'm struck that there's this empathy thing going on. There's this interconnection awareness, possibly. Do you think the same, or do you have other theories about it?
You mean, am I surprised by that?
What had you just mentioned before about their ability, the responder react? And some of what's allowing them to respond instead of react, you know, what's under that? What's the flowing current there?
So that's the, I guess, the secret sauce of mindfulness is as we turn toward the emotions that we're feeling, the physical sensations that we're feeling, as we get more in touch with those, we have more control, or they have less control over us. And the part of us that is grounded, that is the observer, comes to the fore. And that's the ability to respond rather than react.
I love these stories, Tom. And I think that mindfulness is definitely a great practice for anyone. But for me, I think of it, it's helpful of letting go of ego. And there's a friend of ours who also knows someone who does work in the prison system. And one of the things that they've done is introduced Shakespeare to prisoners. And Shakespeare was having a wonderful effect on the prisoners because there was some relatability to the characters and the storylines. And so what about this mindfulness is helping them to see life in a bigger way? Should I say, identify with others in a capacity that wasn't there?
I don't know. One of the interesting things about this for me is that the experience of most of these guys is so different from my experience of growing up and living life. So it's difficult for me to really explain or know what their experience is. And yet I have a philosophy that we certainly have more in common than we have difference. We all have that basic human makeup, human tendencies in common. But what allows them to do that and how that's different for a prison population, I'm not sure. Obviously, everyone's an individual too, so everyone is a little different. But one thing I will say, you mentioned Shakespeare, and I believe that's right here at the Racine Correctional Institute in Sturtevant. I know they do it there. And that is mindfulness is being taught in many prisons around the country. And there's a organization called the Path of Freedom. which has created a whole curriculum for teaching mindfulness in prisons. So it's pretty widespread, and which I think is wonderful. And I think it's highly needed. And I think maybe a part of the answer to your question, Christopher, is that some of these guys, they know that they need to change something to change what's going on, the trajectory of their life. So they're ready, willing, eager to learn some new skills.
Tom, I appreciate you lifting up the widespread that this is happening nationwide. There's pockets of people that are involved in some intentional training around this. I'm curious, if someone is interested in bringing these practices into similar situations, are there some other resources or things that you might offer to encourage folks in that path?
Yeah, the Path of Freedom curriculum is offered by an organization called the Prison Mindfulness Institute. The guy who runs it is a man named Fleet Mall, who spent 16 years in prison himself. They have a website and they have a lot of points of entry for getting training on that. And then I think it's just really important that anyone wanting to do this has a strong practice and has good exposure to mindfulness. And for that, I would recommend an MBSR course, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, which I know is offered by UW Health. So if you go on the UW Health website and look up MBSR, and they also have versions of MBS, those are excellent. And then look for and find a meditation practice that fits your lifestyle and your needs at this point.
Just maybe one follow-up question to that. I'm realizing a lot of times in spiritual guidance, we might have peer groups that we connect with as part of our own self-care and personal support. Does that feel like something that you also, where would you, are there particular peer groups for people working with prisons, or do you just tuck into any spiritual direction peer group? How does that work for you?
I don't know of any formal peer group for people working in prisons. I've made connections, people that are working in the Green Bay area and others working here in southeastern Wisconsin. So I do make a point of keeping in touch with those folks, and that's great. I can learn a lot from them. So it's more informal from what I'm aware of.
Tom, I wonder if you would want to take a minute to share. I know that you're going to be offering a retreat, maybe targeted towards some of the people that Christina's mentioning. So maybe you can take a moment to share about that with us.
Yeah. So we are putting together, a friend and I are going to be offering a day-long mindfulness retreat. And it's directed to people that are helping vulnerable populations. So it's for special education teachers, therapists, counselors, people working in homeless shelters, and also maybe corrections officers. And we're going to be offering that at the Siena Retreat Center here in Racine. And those people will be learning some specific tools, types of meditation and other tools that they can use on the job to bring mindfulness into their lives and into their work.
Tom, thank you so much for sharing just all these different resources. And again, we'll be linking to all of the different things that Tom mentioned in our show notes. Tom, if somebody wanted to reach out personally, if they're just really curious about this and wanting to learn more, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I'm always happy to spread the word on mindfulness, and you can feel free to reach out to me at my email address, which is tbuhlerdud@gmail.com.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tom.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
And now is the part of the podcast where we talk about what we are into. What are we into?
At the moment, we are about to have what is called solo and ensemble in our house. So we have a couple of kids. Each of them has more than one event. So it's a whole day thing. And I'm accompanying one of them on the trombone. He's playing trombone. I'm playing piano. So I am into learning my piano part so that I do not contribute to any difficult moments during his solo. And that's what I'm into.
Nice. My spiritual director gifted me a book for the Lenten season, for those that follow the church calendar. And it was a little booklet that was put together by a bunch of individuals from the community. And so I have been reading the daily devotionals from this wonderful Lent offering. And it has been just a joyful experience going to these daily devotions. So I'm into a Lenten devotional.
Sticking with reading, but a very different flavor, I am into the Magic Treehouse series. And so as part of second grade homework, we have to read aloud in the evenings. And I got sick of Dog Man and some of these other books. And so my older two love the Magic Treehouse. And there's a, in one's reading trajectory, like there's a cumbersome where you're just learning the words and it takes a long time to get through books. We're hitting a fun stride now where we can take turns reading pages with this books. And just so fun. If you're not familiar with it, it's this brother and sister that has a magic treehouse that takes them to different, this one that we're reading now, they're actually on the moon. We just did one with dinosaurs. And so it's these fun adventures. And so I am into the Magic Treehouse book series. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, make it a great week.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.